Mike Holmgren joins us on our IM Flash Hotline. Coach, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. How are you guys doing?
Doing good.
Thanks for joining us. We've discussed Lavelle's legacy with players. What was it like to work for the man?
Well, I've said this many, many times when I've spoken about the coaches I was involved with, that he was the finest man I ever worked for. I mean, bar none. And just he was a great football coach and very much understated, because he let us do, the guys on his staff, he let us do the running around and calling the plays and that kind of stuff. Excuse me. But he was the unquestioned leader, and I learned so much philosophically about how I wanted to conduct myself as a head coach from him. You know, he was great with people, and he was great with me. I was 1 year removed from a high school coach in San Jose, California, and here I am, the quarterback coach at a university known for All-American quarterbacks, and he gave me that opportunity, and I watched him and learned from him, and aside from the football stuff, he was just a great human being.
How did you convince him, or did he convince you to take that job? I mean, what was that process like? Because like you said, your experience was minimal at that point, but he gave you that opportunity.
Yeah, in fact, I was working at San Francisco State University for a man named Vic Rowan, a coach named Vic Rowan, and he and Lavelle were very, very good friends. And Coach Rowan had a reputation for placing guys that worked on his staff in different jobs. And one day Lavelle phoned, and Ted Tolner had left to go to USC. And he was talking to Vic and said, you know anybody that might could coach quarterbacks for me? And Coach Rowan said, I've got one sitting right here. And he goes, okay. I wasn't aware of the conversation. I was in the office. And then he hung up the phone. He goes, listen, I got you an interview at BYU. Well, I didn't know much about BYU other than the fact that I'm not LDS. And I said, well, don't you have to be LDS to work there? And he goes, no, you're going for the interview. He goes, Coach, I really don't want to. And then he goes, you're going. That's what Coach Rowan told me. And so I went, and I knew I was up against guys who had a lot more experience. And I said, well, what the heck? You know what? I'll learn from this, just like I tried to do with all my stops along the way. So I went in and interviewed and was with Norm Chow and those guys who were on the staff. And just, you know, you go into a situation like that, you just have to be yourself and hope for the best. And lo and behold, I got chosen. I never actually asked Lavelle, hey, why did you jump out on a limb and choose me? I never did that. But thank goodness he did, and he had a lot to do with, you know, my future and my becoming head coach.
Well, as you know, he's got an impressive coaching tree, and he has an impressive legacy of great players who once played for him. So that tells me that Lavelle was a great talent evaluator, both of coaches and players. What about him do you think made him such a great talent evaluator?
I don't know. I think he had a philosophy. He knew what he wanted to do at that university. And how to, and that's why all we did was pass the ball. He said, you know, in recruiting athletes and the type of kids, excuse me, we're going to get at BYU, and you know, and we're not going to beat USC on guys or different schools on guys, but we're going to get really smart kids and kids who work hard and all that kind of stuff. We're going to pass the ball, and we're going to do something no one else in the country is doing. So he knew his philosophy, he knew what he wanted, and then it was. And then he just recruited that way and got those young people. And I thought, again, I thought it was a tremendous advantage for BYU at the time, because a lot of the linemen went on missions and then came back, and they were older and more mature. And that really helped the situation as well. So, but he had a clear vision of what he wanted to do, and then he just went out and got guys that could do that.
Coach,
at the quarterback position.
Everybody seems to have a story about Lavelle Edwards, anyone that played for him or coached with him. What's your favorite story about Lavelle?
Well, this involves Steve Young. I was coaching Steve, you know, and Steve was having a remarkable year, his last year, senior year, and we had a great season going. And I come out to practice one day, and he's not there. It's on Wednesday. Steve's not there. And so I go up to coach, and I said, Steve's not here. He goes, oh yeah, I forgot to tell you. He had to go on Good Morning America, and so he'll be back tomorrow. so I, being impulsive and being not very wise, I got mad, and I said, how can he do that? It's okay. Lavelle said, it's okay. So Steve comes back. I'm mad at Steve. We come to the game. We're playing somebody, and Steve does the wrong thing. I mean, does absolutely the wrong thing. And I'm thinking in my mind, he did that because he wasn't at practice. And I'm going to show the world. And I called timeout. And Lavelle was the only one that could call timeout. He called the timeouts. We called the plays in and stuff. But he ran the kicking thing and then called timeouts. I called timeout. They stopped the clock. Everyone's looking around. He goes, who called that timeout? And I said, Steve, get over here. Come here. And Steve goes, he wouldn't come over to me because I was mad. He was 15 yards on the sideline. He goes to Lavelle. He goes, Coach, I'm not coming over there until he calms down. Calm him down. And Lavelle goes, who called the timeout? And it was like the Keystone. It was like Abbott and Costello on the sideline. And finally said, I did, Coach. I'm sorry. I was mad at Steve. And in typical Lavelle, Mike, don't do that anymore. I'll call the timeouts. And that was it. And then we went on, and I calmed down. But that was very typical of in really crunch, tight situations. He had a way about him that was very calming. And I said, boy, I could never match that when I became a head coach. I couldn't. But he had a gift, and it carried over onto the team and onto the players.
Well, he's going to be sorely missed around here, and it's great to hear from someone who worked under him. We know you're a busy man, so we appreciate you taking the time. Thanks for joining us, Mike.
Oh, no. I'm glad you guys, in fact, contacted me because I really can't say enough about him. I just sent him a Christmas card a week ago and just said, I hope, because my daughter works at Intermountain. She's a doctor in Salt Lake City.
Oh, nice.
And I said, on the Christmas card, I said, hey, next time I'm in there, I'll come down. We'll go to lunch, and now this. So, my heart goes out to Patty and the family, and he was a fine, fine man. My goodness,
that he was. He's going to be missed around here, and it sounds like all around the country. So, again, thank you very much, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, guys. Thank you.